Many times, baptism and communion, which are the rituals that are the most outstanding rituals in the Christian faith, are something that we get used to. It becomes common. Baptism is the initiation into the church and into the Christian faith. But the central ritual is this table, because it's ongoing and it's repetitive. And it can become routine to the point where we take it without thinking enough about it. And so if we fail to see the reality within it, then the meal itself is not going to benefit the strengthening of our faith. And that is what my intention today is, to help us to get a new view. Many times in department stores, they'll have a special time where they'll hire a living mannequin. Have you ever seen a living mannequin? Okay, what they do, they dress a person up to be a male or a female, and just in a regular outfit that they're trying to attract people to, or among the mannequins in the storefront window, and the person's made up so much their face almost looks like plastic a little bit, you know, because it's so thick with makeup. And they hold real still. And then they will suddenly move to a new location, because if they do that, they're going to faint if they don't do something. But then they'll change to a new position, and they'll stay like that. And unless you're, you know, they stay like that so long, you can actually walk by and not notice. Because sometimes it's not easy to distinguish imitation from reality. And this is not just an imitation. This is reality, what we're talking about today. What the Queen Elizabeth said when she said this was, God, the word that spake it, he took the bread and break it, and what the word did make it, that I believe and take it. And I really believe that answers the question, but we do feast upon our Lord in this table. He has spread a table of himself. And what happens at this table is real if we take a close look. And I want us to take a close look at the passage that I read, this text that gives us the Lord's table and talks about the Lord's table. And really, it's a look that takes us in five directions. And the first direction is a look upward. Because Jesus said, when he had given thanks, you see, this meal is called a Thanksgiving meal. Eucharist means thanksgiving. And the attitude of gratitude is really exemplified in Christ here. And what he's actually doing, because he is a member of the Trinity, here become flesh to dwell among us, he is actually showing by example that the attitude of gratitude has its root in the Trinity. The attitude of gratitude is an attitude that is shared among the Trinity. And Jesus manifested that when he looked up to his Father and broke the bread and gave thanks about this meal, this Thanksgiving meal, this Eucharist. And Thanksgiving season is a time that reminds us of our dependence upon God. And we might say that the Trinity is interdependent on one another. But I thought this up some time ago about Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was coming up soon, and I thought about people who are atheists. People who are atheists around Thanksgiving time, all dressed up, and no one to thank. And you know, it's true. They celebrate Thanksgiving, but who are they thanking? I mean, who are they thanking for all the good things, if not God? You know, chance happening, but we thank God because we are dependent upon God. And this is important, that this meal is called Eucharistic meal, a Thanksgiving meal, because it sets our look upward. We start the meal with thanksgiving, thanking God that he has given his Son to die upon the cross for our sins. We're thanking God for this. And this establishes our identity as a thankful people, a grateful people, because that's a Trinitarian family trait.
and we have joined, by our salvation, we have joined in fellowship with the Trinity. And now we have that, we should have that trait, children of a grateful God. Well, we always have to start with this vertical view in order to get the right horizontal view. And there's several views that are the horizontal view. And the first one that is looked at here is a backwards view. A backwards view. Two times in verse 24 and 25 of this passage, Jesus said, in remembrance of me. You see, Jesus knew that this meal would be celebrated years later. Down through the history of the church, he knew that. So he said, in remembrance of me, because I'm leaving, I'm going, I'm dying. And I want this meal celebrated in remembrance of me. So we have a backward look. It's very important for us today when there's such a emphasis on living in the present. You know, live for the now. Live for today. But you really can't do that if you don't have a memory of the past. It doesn't work. There was a fellow minister, James Ashbrook, and he wrote this in the Journal of Pastoral Care. Here's what he said. Meaningfulness depends upon memory. Without biographical remembering, there is a loss of personal identity, no sense of self or perception of continuity. This is the basis for the biblical command to remember. Without memory, we lose our ability to make centered decisions, to take initiative, and to have a sense of coherence. This really holds it all together. This backward view, we are looking back at the cross when we observe this table, and we're realizing that we are in historical continuity with all of the saints that have gone before us. We are in historical continuity. We have joined the ranks of this large group of people that are marching to Zion. And when the saints go marching in, we'll be with that group because we join their ranks. And they're going in that vertical direction because of what happened in the past. Something for all of us is past. Now for them, that meal was, to them, probably a little hard to understand what Jesus was saying until he had died. And then they said, he said to do this in remembrance of him. Now we understand. It's the cross. It's the cross. Well, the backward look. Many times we have to have this backward look because the things in front of us, the present things, are so sucking in that they distract us and we need to refocus. And many times we have to go back to refocus. We have to go back. We were distracted by the pressures of daily living. Most of the people at my work carry pictures on the back of their name badges of their family. And they're a little bit, it's just to show off, you know. But at the same time, it's to remind you why you're there. Why are we working like this? Why have we done all this? Well, we want to raise our family. We want to support our family and provide for our loved ones. Well, Jesus left us this divine picture. It's a picture. This is like a picture of his death, his body and blood. And his sacrifice in his body and blood, he wanted us, he provided that in order to bring us to salvation and provide that salvation. He was providing for us. When he provided this meal, he was providing for our life, our spiritual livelihood. And so this backward view is so important. Now there's another part of this horizontal viewpoint, and that is an outward view. An outward view. By this meal, it says, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. That's why this is a central ritual in the Christian church. And what it actually does is define the mission of the church, which is evangelism. This season has been Kingdom Tide, and we're still in Kingdom Tide. And what evangelism is really bringing in the harvest. And that's why it's so neat how this all works together around as Thanksgiving ends Kingdom Tide before Advent. that we are talking about bringing in the harvest of souls into the kingdom of God through evangelism, through the spreading of the kingdom in kingdom tide. All these things are so interesting how they work together. But it's not only this meal, what happened that is celebrated on this table, brought the church into existence, actually, gave the church birth. But it also announces, it proclaims, it says, it proclaims the Lord's death until he comes. That is the reason for what they call in philosophy the raison d'etre. It's the reason we exist as an evangelist, as a proclamation point. So really, if you really think about it, wherever this meal is celebrated, we are proclaiming the Lord's death. We're proclaiming his death. The good news that the cross can deliver all who are bound in sin. And, you know, the powers of darkness do not like us to observe this meal. The powers of darkness, I think, tremble a little bit when we proclaim the Lord's death, because his death spelled disaster and destruction to the kingdom of darkness. And that is why we should never be ashamed of communion. We should never be ashamed of what communion talks about. And when we say we feed upon the death of the Lord, because that is our life. His death destroyed our death, destroyed our bondage, so that we could really be free. And it ended up in resurrection life. Well, there's a scripture that Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, this good news about his cross. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And that is why when we celebrate this meal and proclaim his death, all around the vicinity where it's happening, spiritual power is released. Spiritual power is released through this. And as long as the church has kept this meal going and said we must observe this meal, we are proclaiming that, not just to people around us that see us doing it, but to the spiritual realm, and saying, you know what? You guys lost, and you got to let go of those souls you're holding on to. And that's our proclamation. Well, there's another reality that this table brings into focus. That's on the horizontal direction. And that is a forward look, a look forward. In verse 26, it says, until he comes. You see, we are starting at the cross, and we are going forward until he comes. That's why we're in a sense like the saints that go marching in. We're in an army. In fact, it's interesting how the church is called the church militant down here and the church triumphant up there. All that have died and gone before us in that large church triumphant were at one time in the militant stage where we are right now, marching towards heaven, marching towards Zion. We should have sung that song. That would have been a good one. That's what we're doing. We're marching towards Zion. Well, this is a forward look. And it's very interesting that this is the last season that we celebrate at Thanksgiving in. This is the last season of the Christian year. It's called Advent. It comes up real soon. Advent. And it starts, the beginning of Advent is the end of the Christian year. And the end of Advent is the beginning of the new Christian year, because you're celebrating at the very outset of Advent the second coming, which is the end of all things. And then the next part of Advent, you're celebrating the Lord's first coming. So it starts the year all over again. Very interesting how it does that. But God did not want us to just have an emphasis during this season, or coming up, this season coming up about Advent. He wanted us to think about the future and about the forward movement that we're looking forward to every single time we have this meal, all throughout the year. And that is a forward look until he comes, until the Lord comes back again. That's what our motivation is. All of these horizontal viewpoints is, what are we doing with this backward look? And what we're doing outwardly to those who are around us to spread the gospel, and where are we going? We're going towards the future that the Lord has prepared for us. And Many times we do get entangled. We get entangled in the trivialities of life, the trivial pursuits of life, things that are temporary, that won't last. And this table, in its forward view, it calls us forward, and it helps us to leave those trivialities. My mother always taught me this, and she quoted it so often, you've heard it 1,000 times, I'm sure. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last throughout eternity. It's always because he's coming again, that's the most important thing. So this table is central because it turns our look upward in a vertical direction towards God in thanksgiving. It turns us backwards to our roots in remembrance of Christ's cross. It helps us to look around evangelistically and outward from just focusing on ourselves. You know, we could just be a very tight little group that, you know, we met together, but we didn't reach out to anybody. And that would be very selfish. No, it's an outward look as well to reach out evangelistically. And then it's a forward look, waiting for Christ's return. And the last look brings all of these together and gives them a coherence together, all of these directions. And that is this, an inward look. You see, it's okay for us to argue about theological points and philosophies and things like that that are mostly just words. But until our theology, until our belief is put into practice, it's really not meaningful to us. And that's why the Lord wants us to examine ourselves. And in this passage, Paul says, a man must examine himself. A man ought to examine himself. We have to have this inward look. Communion can never be taken lightly. We always come to this meal as a solemn occasion. It is a sacred meal. It is to be approached not in a routine manner, but in a solemn manner of rejoicing, at the same time of introspection. Whoever, it says in verse 27, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. There's something real in our attitude, and we must come to this table with a look that will bring us to the reality of what we're doing. Each time we come, it can never be routine. And because Christ took our judgment, you see, this table represents the judgment. It should be the only judgment we ever experience is at this table. Because, you see, we must come and examine ourselves and judge ourselves before God when we partake of this meal. And that should be the closest we ever get to God's judgment day. Because, you see, he took our judgment on the cross. And our participation with his body and blood from the cross brings on us the forgiveness of our sins. You see, we celebrate our forgiveness by partaking of this meal. We celebrate our salvation that we already have by partaking of this meal. We nurture our faith by partaking of this meal. And when we do that, we are getting as close as possible to the judgment of God that we should ever get. Because it says that we can actually, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of our Lord, eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is a very, very solemn approach we have to have. So it's important for us, and I wanted to bring this look out before we have communion. What happens to us spiritually when we come to the Lord's table depends upon how we view this table. It depends upon us asking the Lord in that song we sing, open our eyes, Lord, we want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to meet him here at this table. And, you know, we feed so much upon the world. I mean, we feed upon the attitudes on television, the politics things, you know, the politics, especially after election like we've just gone through, and all the pros and the cons and the arguments that they last for a couple of years or maybe a decade or so, and then they're gone off the face of the earth, and and we don't even remember some of the things, and we were so concerned, we fed upon those things, and they never really satisfied our hearts. This meal, this is the meal that will satisfy our hearts. This is what our heart is looking for. Here we will not feel still empty inside. Because this is what Jesus said when he talked about this meal. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my drink, my blood is real drink. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful that you have brought us here today to this table again. Lord, many times we have come to this table before, but we're coming to it anew. And we're asking, Lord, that you guide us in this time to have a heart that is open to your Holy Spirit, for you could search our hearts. And we ask, Lord, as we draw near to this sacred meal, that you might search us by the Holy Spirit, that we might reverently and humbly come, asking you to give us a clear conviction and true repentance for our sins, a fresh devotion to you, and a love for our neighbors, and to a renewed determination to walk in your holy ways.